The boarders swarmed over the fence like monkeys. Squire and Gray fired again and again. Three men fell, one forwards into the enclosure, two back on the outside. But of these, one was evidently more frightened than hurt, for he was on his feet again in a crack, and instantly disappeared among the trees. Two had bit the dust, one had fled, four had made good their footing inside our defences, while from the shelter of the woods seven or eight men, each evidently supplied with several muskets, kept up a hot, though useless, fire on the log-house. The four who had boarded made straight before them for the building, shouting as they ran, and the men among the trees shouted back to encourage them. Several shots were fired, but such was the hurry of the marksmen that not one appeared to have taken effect. In a moment the four pirates had swarmed up the mound and were upon us. The head of Joe Banderson, the boatswain, appeared at the middle loophole. "At 'em, all hands!" he roared, in a voice of thunder. At the same moment another pirate grasped Hunter's musket by the muzzle, wrenched it from his hands, plucked it through the loophole, and, with one stunning blow, laid the poor fellow senseless on the floor. Meanwhile a third, running unharmed all around the house, appeared suddenly in the doorway, and fell with his cutlass on the doctor. Our position was utterly reversed. A moment before we were firing, under cover, at an exposed enemy. Now it was we who lay uncovered, and could not return a blow. The log-house was full of smoke, to which we owed our comparative safety. Cries and confusion, the flashes and reports of pistol shots, and one loud groan rang in my ears. "Out, lads, and fight 'em in the open! Cutlasses!" cried the captain. I snatched a cutlass from the pile, and someone at the same time snatching another gave me a cut across the knuckles which I hardly felt. I dashed out of the door into the clear sunlight. Someone was close behind, I knew not whom. Right in front the doctor was pursuing his assailant down the hill, and, just as my eyes fell upon, beat down his guard, and sent him sprawling on his back, with a great slash across the face. "Round the house, lads, round the house!" cried the captain. And even in the hurly-burly I perceived a change in his voice. Mechanically I obeyed, turned eastwards, and with my cutlass raised, ran round the corner of the house. Next moment I was face to face with Anderson. He roared aloud, and his hanger went up above his head, flashing in the sunlight. I had not time to be afraid, but as the blow still hung impending, leaped in a trice upon one side, and missing my foot in the soft sand, rolled headlong down the slope. When I had first sallied from the doctor, the other mutineers had been already swarming up the palisade to make an end of us. One man, in a red nightcap, with his cutlass in his mouth, had even got upon the top and thrown a leg across. Well, so short had been the interval, that when I found my feet again, all was in the same posture. The fellow with the red nightcap still halfway over, another still just showing his head above the top of the stockade. And yet, in this breath of time, the fight was over, and the victory was ours. Gray, following close behind me, had cut down the big boatswain before he had time to recover from his lost blow. Another had been shot at a loophole in the very act of firing into the house, and now lay in agony, the pistol still smoking in his hand. A third, as I had seen, the doctor had disposed of at a blow. Of the four who had scaled the palisade, only one remained unaccounted for, and he, having left his cutlass on the field, was now clambering out again with the fear of death upon him. "Fire! Fire from the house!" cried the doctor. "And you, lads, back into cover!" But his words were unheeded, no shot was fired, and the last boarder made good his escape, and disappeared with the rest into the wood. In 3 seconds nothing remained of the attacking party but the five who had fallen, four on the inside and one on the outside, of the palisade. The doctor and Gray and I ran full speed for shelter. The survivors would soon be back where they had left their muskets, and at any moment the fire might recommence. The house was by this time somewhat cleared of smoke, and we saw at a glance the price we had paid for victory. Hunter lay beside his loophole stunned, Joyce by his, shot through the head, never to move again, while right in the center the squire was supporting the captain, one as pale as the other. "The captain's wounded," said Mr. Trelawney. "Have they run?" asked Mr. Smollett. "All that could," returned the doctor. "But there's five of them will never run again." "Five?" cried the captain. "Come, that's better odds than we had at starting.